The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
It's Victor Dandridge, the hardest working man in comics, and you are listening to PVD Cast with John Orlando. Guys, I'm telling y'all it's the best thing on the entire interweb. Listen long, listen strong. John, it's all you, man.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 293. I hope all is well with you, and thank you very much for checking out this episode of the PVD Cast. And my guest is an independent comic book creator by the name of Adam Fields. He is the man behind Midnight 27 Studios. He's also the creator of the Prowl comic book series. And for longtime listeners of the PVD Cast, you probably recognize the name Adam Fields. He last appeared in the summer of 2018. And Adam's been a very busy man, and I've been a very busy man. And we just haven't had the chance to kind of connect and talk about some of the cool projects he has going on and some of the cool projects he's done in the past. So a couple weeks ago, I reached out to Adam. I said, let's do it, man. I did also apologize for not having him on in forever. It was a rule of thumb, if I may just give some advice for anybody out there that wants to be on the PVD Cast. Sometimes life just gets very, very busy, and it's not like I'm ignoring people. You want to come on, hit me up through social media, drop me an email, whatever, and we'll get it scheduled. So it's just how it is, I guess, sometimes. So but before we get into my conversation with Adam, there's a couple things that I need to let you know about. As I've been mentioning for the last couple of weeks, Matt Talk, which is my side project, and the PVD Cast are both nominated for a Columbus Podcast Award. Matt Talk is nominated in the TV and film category. The PVD Cast is nominated in the Society and Culture division. But because of both those nominations, Matt Talk and the PVD Cast are also thrown in the hat to possibly walk away with Podcast of the Year accolades. This is where I need your help. You gotta vote for the PVD Cast. You gotta vote for Matt Talk. And it's super simple. Just go over to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations. Go to the different divisions. Find the PVD Cast in Society and Culture. Find Matt Talk in the TV and film category. Click on the little icon next to the logo. Put in your email address and your vote counts. And then go over and vote for, of course, those two wonderful podcasts in the Podcast of the Year category as well. And hopefully at the end of August, I'll be able to say that either Matt Talk or the PVD Cast are big winners of the Columbus Podcast Awards. All right, we're going to be talking about comics with Adam Fields, so I need to remind you that this episode is brought to you by great sponsor, World's Greatest Comics. I mean, they've got a lot of different things over at the store, and in fact, I just had a fellow podcast pal say he stopped over the other day, and he managed to pick up a poster that he's wanted for a very long time. Not only do they have posters, but they've got single issues, they've got graphic novels, they've got toys, they've got collectibles, they've got hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of back issues, collections, a great pull system, comic book supplies. My goodness, I could sit here and name everything in the store, but that would take all day. Just go over to the store and see it for yourself. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But if you're not in the Central Ohio area, easy way to check them out online. They have a great website, wgcomics.com, and they have a great Facebook page, and they're very active on the Facebook page. Just look for at WG Comics, and please let them know that you heard about the store from me right here on the PVD Cast. All right, I'm going to throw it to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, I'm going to sit down and chat with independent comic book creator Adam Fields. All right, ladies and gentlemen, this afternoon I have the pleasure of sitting down and chatting with a man that, well, quite frankly, hasn't been on the PVDcast in a very long time, and I don't even know how that happened, but it happened. But nonetheless, I'm rambling. Let's get to it. My guest, Mr. Adam Fields. Adam, how you doing, man?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing good. You are the man behind Midnight 27 Studios. You are the creator of the Prowl comic book, and you have tons of other cool stuff to talk about. Since the last time that we talked, which was July of 2018, that seems so far in the past, wow. Doesn't it?
2018, that's the last time?
The last time.
So I'm going to have to go back into the archives and shake out some cobwebs to figure out what I've done since then.
You've been a busy man.
Yep. So, wow, 2018. we were in Columbus, weren't we, the last time we did
that's right, November of 2018. So it's been a while. And you know what, we'll start off real quick with the question that I've asked a lot of creators, and we kind of talked about it off air. Was there any impact on you during last year's crazy year and the pandemic and COVID and everything else?
I'm one of those, I'd like to think that I'm a sort of a success story out of COVID. Because one, I refuse to let anything die in COVID. I legit had a epiphany or a dream or whatever you want to call it one night when I was having a mid-panic attack when everything was shutting down, cons were canceling left and right, things just weren't looking good. It was really bleak. There was rumors that, you know, the schools were going to be going to working from home and all this, and like it was going to impact us heavily. I rely on my con income. So I said, you know what? It hit me. I'm like, we're all at home right now. We're all in our pajamas. Why don't I just host an online event called PajamaCon? And that's what we did. I was thinking CoronaCon, I was thinking QuarantineCon, but those all have negative connotations to it. So I said, we're all literally in our pajamas. So we created this event, and thanks to PajamaCon, it kept me going. We were able to host and ship out everything. Thanks to the Lord for the post office still shipping. But that saved our butts because we did two of them. But during it, I seen more people were at home. They had the stimulus money. They had their care packages. And it kind of kept me afloat because I sort of refused to stop. So I actually went the other way. I got successful during it because I was not about to give up.
Yeah, that's a great attitude to have. And that's, I think, the only attitude you can have if you're an independent creator, you know, during that rough times. But thankfully, I think we're out of the woods, hopefully.
I think so. We've only been to one place where they were still very cautious. But other than that, everything seems to sort of be back to a semi-normal feeling. So.
Yeah, and I think we just have to kind of be, what's the word I'm looking for? Vigilant and understanding.
Yes.
That it still might take us a little bit more of some time to get completely out of the woods and be completely good to go. But we just got to be vigilant. We got to be patient. We got to be understanding, you know.
Absolutely. You know, because I know it sounds so cheesy, but we literally are all in this end together. I mean, we were all in the same ship. So, yeah.
All right, well, let's talk about your probably, I'm going to say, biggest project, you know, that you've had, your own creation, comic book, Prowl.
So yeah, can you give us a little summary? Prowl. So, if no one has heard of it yet, it's basically about a vigilante werewolf, and the best way I can describe it is, what if the wolf in sheep's clothing was there to protect the herd? So it's based in a small town, because that's where I live, and I'm tired of seeing New York and San Diego get blown up. That's just so expensive on the taxpayers. So I said, you know, let's base a comic in little small town, made up town. And, you know, it's a really petty crimes, you know, graffiti, you know, maybe some, you know, car burglaries here and there. Drugs are, you know, sort of rampant throughout the town, but this dude has this, stone that he found that literally turns him into his gigantic werewolf. So it's kind of overkill for what crimes he's stopping. But so he's sort of putting the fear of God in everyone. But the whole plot is built around where that stone come from and why does it have this power. It's sort of a deep, dark history to the town that was meant to be long forgotten. And he's starting to rattle some cages that he shouldn't be. So I know right now we are currently at issue 7, which is the end of volume 1. It's kind of a setup story. Currently, I have volume 2 already scripted. I have a new spinoff series introducing a whole new character that will eventually have their own series ongoing, kind of an anti-hero. I can't talk too much about that because the minute you start reading it, there's a big twist right from the get-go. So that's going to be a 6-issue run, and that one is already wrote and scripted. So biggest hang-up is the artwork at this time. I have not had a chance to sit down and start the art because I was picked up for multiple book projects, and I will always put customers before my own stuff. Prowl has been on sort of a hiatus, but it's honestly helped because I was able to dive into the story a little more and polish it up, whereas I was rushing, you know, sort of in the beginning just to get it out. But now I feel like it's a better product because I did take that little pause.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned the last time that we talked that you were thinking about doing kind of a large graphic novel that would capture the entire history of of the Prowl universe. Is that still in the works?
So, yeah, and I think I've shifted it as to that's probably going to become the prequel. I'm going to release a one-shot graphic novel that is sort of what we're building towards in the world. Because I think having people wait is for that story to be told is just cruel. And once it's revealed as to what is happening, I want everyone to know here is the whole history, and I'm going to Netflix that thing and say, here, you have it all in one shot. But the series, I do believe, is going to be ongoing collectors. I've talked to multiple comic book collectors, and they love the idea of the single issues. But I will be doing trades of each volume as the most publishers do. So,
Can we talk about a team up? That you have used for not only Prowl, I believe a couple of the other projects, Galahad Comics.
Oh, yeah. So this was such an honor for me because Trevor had reached out and his whole push, and it's something that I really wish other comic shops would look into. He wanted to focus on independent creators instead of going towards, you know, the big three and saying, I want exclusive covers of Spider-Man, Batman, whatever. He's like, no, I want to take these independent guys and give them sort of a spotlight on their own. And that's sort of what he did. So when he reached out, he said, so you have your own stuff. I've never met the gentleman before. And he started talking to me about my book. So much like what I've just said, I gave him the pitch. He goes, I would love to do an exclusive cover of all your books. So we're actually on issue 5 right now with exclusive cover, which is through GalahadComics.com. You can order those right now. But he loves doing homages to classic video games. So the first one, and this was the very first time I actually did an exclusive cover for Prowl for a comic shop, I showed him a couple of the characters. I have a character named Sagar who is basically this masked hunter, and he does not talk. He's just straight action. He liked his design. So he goes, have you ever played the Alien versus Predator Nintendo game, Super Nintendo game? I said, I did. So he showed me the box art. He goes, I like to do an homage to that. So that was the very first exclusive cover I did was, Prowl as the alien and Sagar as the predator, which absolutely fits the universe. And it sold out within a day. So it was crazy. So then we did a second one for issues 3 and 4. We doubled up on those books, and we did Werewolf. I think it was Werewolf Apocalypse or something. It was when that game came out for Xbox. It was the remake, but we did that again, featuring these two characters. So, and then this one that we just did for issue 5 was Altered Beast. So it's half and half. it's Alex and then the werewolf. So yeah, it's kind of an honor to that people are wanting exclusive covers for this property. So kind of keeps my fuel up for it. So pretty excited for it.
And from doing some research on them, they're based out of Idaho, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yep. They do a variety of variant covers for a lot of different independent creators.
Ton of them.
And yeah, and GallahandComics.com, GALAHAD comics.com, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yep, correct.
So yeah. There you go. Check it out, folks. So,
apparently Idaho has, you know, exclusive covers and potatoes. So, I mean, it's awesome. Check that out.
Well, as long as they don't make any type of covers out of potatoes, I think we're doing okay. Right.
You know, it's crazy because I've been looking into, like, what all, how can we make this a little more exclusive? How can we make this a little more premium? And, you know, we've been doing foil covers now. I'm looking into spot foil covers at this point. They're embossed covers. So it wouldn't surprise me if someone made paper out of a potato one day and said, hey, this is the potato cut. I mean, it's crazy what these people are doing with these blank or with these, you know, cover stocks. I mean, metal cover. It's insane what's out there.
Indeed. It's the creativity of the creator. And if there's a will, there's a way, as the old saying goes.
Yep.
So speaking of an unusual project and, you know, this goes back, as we mentioned, we're going to have to catch up a little bit since it's been a minute or so since we've talked. Can we talk a little bit about Zombie Office? Because you did the art for this project, and it was kind of a comic book that was also like a movie, but also like a choose your own adventure.
Yeah.
What's the status of the project right now?
So that one, they finally had settled on a second script, and as I was reading it, I started, you know, as I mentioned, I already got picked up for a bunch of other properties. So at the time I told him, I said, I'm going to have to pass on doing issue two. I said, but I would love to letter and still publish it because I have the publishing for the first one. They said, oh, that's awesome. But I don't know what all has affected because I haven't heard honestly back from them in a few months. But I do know that they had found another artist at the time. They showed me some of their artwork, and it looks really good and similar to what I did in issue one. But what's so fascinating about that story is, again, it goes right back to what we just said about these exclusive covers. And if there's a will, there's a way. They are heavily involved in Spain with their technology side of stuff. So you can actually download their app, scan the cover, and bring a zombie to life. And it's just a 3D model, and it moves and everything, but there's no QR code or anything that we're used to. So it's sort of their own property that they sort of developed where you can do augmented reality right off the pages. So you can scan a few of the pages on issue one and watch me color the pages. So it's really cool that they're bringing the virtual world into the comics, which open up a huge number of doors for what you want to do with that technology.
And they discovered you online, correct?
Yeah. I was drawing a Power Ranger on Instagram. and as I was drawing it, someone said, hey, can you draw zombies? I said, yeah, I can draw zombies. Just message me. So they did. And that was like one of my very first hired publishing gigs. So I always have to give it to Jean for trusting and taking a leap with me. But working with them and working with other publishers, it shows me the benefit. And this is something that I always preach to like new writers and people that are in trying to get into this realm. Always have your story done first before taking on art, because that was the biggest holdup. And that's why I ended up having to pass on the other job, was because the script wasn't done. And, you know, I'm like, well, we need to have the full story done before we start artwork. So whenever I start drawing my new series, the script's done. I'll once I get to the end of first issue, I'm jumping onto the second issue. So little unsolicited helpful advice for anyone listening that wants to become a writer or hire an artist: have your story done first.
I think that's sound advice. That's really good advice. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other, since we're on that topic, any other advice or anything for newcomers?
Pay your artist. No, definitely have agreements and understanding and have a clear vision, but also trust your artist's judgment. If you're an artist and if you're uncertain, don't be prideful, and also ask them for some guidance if you're unsure of what they're saying in the script, or if you're not, it's your first time working with this author or these characters. Ask, it's a conversation. You guys all have the same mutual, goal, is to get this out and have people enjoy it. So there, be a team player.
Okay. Well, let's move on to another project, mm-hmm. which is, I guess you could say, more along the lines of like a science fiction tale, a technological tale, Screen Boy. Can you give us a little synopsis of this?
Yes, I love Screen Boy, and I'm honored to say that I am actually a co-owner of this property. So not only am I the lead illustrator, but I am owner as well, and I love this story, not just because of that, but because it literally can tie into any other movie, any other story out there. So basically, to put it in a nutshell, the organization are fictional entertainment police. Okay, so if you see the cover, you see that Arthur is wearing these blue and red visors. They're called Demi Shades, and they basically monitor every single movie or story that you and I enjoy. So if someone was to infiltrate Star Wars and steal Luke Skywalker's lightsaber, when he goes to battle Darth Vader, he's gonna lose. The story's gonna change, and we can't have that as fans. So they are literally monitoring these. And then if someone does come in and to loot the property or whatever, they go in and they take them on. So they are specific screeners, are what they're called, who sort of monitor and go into these different realms. So they have to be trained to, if they jump into a Fast and Furious movie, they got to know how to drive a car fast and control it. If they're in Jurassic Park, they got to know how to tame dinosaurs. So it's such a fun adventure, and it is kid friendly. That's kind of what it was geared towards, was to sort of spark this imagination of a little kid sitting in front of the TV watching and saying, I would love, what would I do if I was in this movie, so it's entertaining. I know we have issue one done, and I'm currently illustrating issue two, but we had some big stuff come up for this property that I had to rush, and I think we got three different pinups done for it. So I should hopefully, the next time we talk in the next 5 years, we'll have some awesome updates for Screen Boy.
You keep mentioning you're just the artist for Screen Boy. Who's the writer?
Ethan Murphy. He is actually out of L.A. He works in a film studio. He is a fantastic individual. Carlos, I'm going to butcher his last name, so I'm not even going to try. But he is actually the inker and colorist. And his colors... if you guys go to my social media page, I post it, all his stuff. They're so vivid. He takes what I pencil, and I have sort of this idea of what it's going to look like when it's done. But when I see it, it's literally like Christmas again, all over, because it just has so much life to it. So absolutely enjoy this team that we have going for Screen Boy.
What's some of the challenges with Screen Boy? Because it's a kind of a different genre than what you've done with Prowl. Yeah. Are there significant challenges?
Honestly, the most challenge, I should say, is having to know these different styles of art. I have my set style that I just sort of default to when I mindlessly go, and that's kind of the main world, if you will. But in issue one, he jumps into what we recognize as the Looney Tunes world. So I had to draw in the Looney Tunes style, which is something I can do. It's just I'm not quick at it. So trying to separate my style from these other ones. And I do know that there's like a manga style action event going to be coming eventually. And I have to learn how to draw manga style. And that's a challenge for me. It's one of my weaknesses. But just going back and forth between different styles, that's the biggest challenge, but it's also the most entertaining, because you know, if I'm for Screen Boy One, after five pages, it changed and it was like illustrating a whole new book again. And it kind of kept it fresh for me. So on top of being a challenge, it's so entertaining to sort of see these different realms, but drawing the same character as these different styles is very, very unique. So yeah, there's Screen Boy right there. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about another project that I'm going to be honest, Adam. I didn't find too many notes on this. I don't know if you're keeping it top secret or whatnot, but could you tell us a little bit about Ink?
Ink. Oh, so Sierra Nova. So we just have the second script done for Ink 2. It's actually it's part of their big universe called Sierra Chronicles, which I'm happy to announce that I am actually taking over the pencil and ink on Sierra Chronicles. So that's actually one of the newer projects that I will be starting after this current project I'm on, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But they are another indie-based company where indies can upload their books and people can sort of download them for a small fee. So they're, again, trying to promote the indie world. But Ink is tied into that. It's about a guy named Shane who is a tattoo artist, and he ends up with this magic key tattoo that unlocks some superhuman abilities. So that's sort of the gist of issue one. And issue two, it sounds like it's going to get really, really wild, and you're going to see some wild stuff. I've glanced through the script. I'm like, okay, this is going to be really cool, to draw. So pretty pumped for that one. But yeah, Greg was the author on that, and I can't wait to tackle Ink 2.
Okay. Another talented team there for that book as well as Screen Boy. And speaking of teams, it just keeps rolling on here that you have a project with Mr. Victor Dandridge.
Oh, my God. Victor. That man, he has earned his title of hardest working man in comics. Now, I'm going to rewind a little bit how Victor and I met. There was a small con that was trying to siphon people from Wizard World a long, long time ago, back when I first got started. And let me tell you, if five people showed up, it's because they accidentally walked in. They didn't know what the heck was going on. It was kind of a joke. But I was set up next to Victor's girl, and she was like, yeah, he's over there. And I didn't know who this guy was. I was very, very new to this whole world. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, Victor comes in and he goes, hey, you know, Wizard World, we had, you know, it just wrapped up and, you know, how'd we do over here? And so he was kind of split both ways. And she told him, she goes, yeah, it was kind of a dud. And I was really disappointed, but he's like, oh, and I got to talk to him during close down. And he's like, yeah, add me on Facebook. And then I did. And I started seeing him at every con I was at. So we sort of got to know each other through there. And he jokingly told me, he goes, hey, you know, hit me up if you need work. He goes, I'm actually one that actually pays artists. I'm like, oh, all right. I didn't know how important that was at the time. It's really important. Totally important. So thank you, Victor, for being one of them guys. But fast forward until about a couple months ago, I received a message from him, said, hey, I have a mini series that I'm working on, and I think you'd be the right guy for it. Would you be interested? Yes, absolutely. I would love to work with you. Then I got scared because I'm like, what did I just do? This guy, I'm going to have to up my entire game because I got to keep up with him. And I'm actually in the middle of inking one of his pages right now that I drew yesterday. And so far, the energy has been fantastic in this book. It's called Point of Authority. And he's being very ambitious. And I know it's going to be successful just because it's who it's for. But he's doing a 2-in-1 Kickstarter. I need to look at when it's launching, but I do know he's got two books coming out in one Kickstarter, and one of them is Point of Authority that I'm on. So,
you know what? I could sit here for a half hour and talk about right. Victor, 'cause he is one of my favorite people, man. I mean,
he is.
And no disrespect to anybody else. He's just got it, man. His energy
is infectious and contagious, and you have to watch it because it's amazing how awesome he is. Like even when I started sending some pages and there was a few changes that needed, he still made me feel like, hey, this is awesome. Can we push it just a little further? And I'm like, oh, absolutely. Like, and I've done work for hundreds of people. And, you know, sometimes if they ask for revisions, like it seems real negative, but he was so uplifting and very encouraging on these, and that's what it just keeps the momentum going. So, yeah, he is awesome. So no one knows. And the one thing I really like about what he's doing is not only is he creating his own universe and his own stories, but he creates products to help other creators get started. So, you know, his character builders, his Mighty Mags, so you can do layouts, and his authoring tools and his cards to help write prompts. I mean, dude is just a machine. So yeah, we can, we could do a whole segment about Victor, and I'd love to one day. He's awesome. Yeah, I'm working on Point of Authority for him right now, pencil and inks.
So something you said just a minute ago, I want to just kind of go a little bit further. Okay. You said, Victor said, hey, man, we need this revision. Can you push a little bit farther? Mm-hmm. As an artist, do you ride that line of, I want to give the author or my boss, so to speak, what they want, but man, I would love to maybe just push the envelope a little bit. Is there that balance that as an artist, you have to kind of maintain that balance of giving what the client wants versus pushing it and seeing what else you can do?
Yeah. So the way I've always taken it, and you know, my background in college really prepared me for, you know, art directors and stuff that will absolutely shred, and clients that will shred artwork, kind of gives you some thick skin. But whenever it's presented in a way that is helpful, you know, I always stop. If someone asks for a revision, I always sort of step away from my lenses and sort of look through it through their eye and say, you know what, they're right. This could look a little better, or this may need flipped, or, you know, whatever the change is. But on the same hand, if I look at it and I think, I don't, whatever they're asking composition wise may not look good, or for whatever reason, I'm not afraid to say, sort of push back and let them know, because that's where the mutual respect comes from. They respect me as an artist to tell me, you know, hey, this kind of needs changed. But if I feel strongly and here's why, you know, and I present it that way, then we can have that conversation. So it really is a, you know, a give and take. Yeah, you know, it's amazing, you know, what will mutual ground we come on, and then we see the end result. And I'm like, it was better, or, you know, they do see it your way. Either way, it the product's always going to be better in the end.
I'm going to interrupt my conversation with Adam for just one moment to talk to you about World's Greatest Comics. They're a fine sponsor of the PVD cast, and they're also your one-stop shop for all of your comic book related needs. They've got single issues, graphic novels, collectibles, toys, back issues, a great pull system, posters, basically you name it, they got it. So if you're in the Columbus, Ohio area, stop on over to the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio, or you can check them out online. Their website is wgcomics.com, and they're even on Facebook. Just search for at WG Comics. And please let them know that you heard about the store from me, John Orlando, on the PVD cast. Well, let's talk about some other older projects, especially for those folks that are not familiar with your story, Adam. Yeah. You did some artwork for an author by the name of E.E. Martin.
Who? Who's she?
I believe she is the author of The Squid Files.
She is the author of a lot of things. And she is one of my best friends in this world of creativity. And we literally talk almost every day, whether it's about stories, life, her dogs, or artwork, or even if it's just her nudging her way into my business saying, hey, what are you working on today? You know, it's that accountability. But yeah, she actually wrote, I do believe, 15 books, and I think I've done covers for 10. If not more at this time. But yeah, Squid Files, that's sort of a, we kind of dubbed it as sort of like X-Files for kids, but it's more of a, these middle schoolers are in this little club and they sort of hunt down paranormal things that are happening. And then other stuff goes on, and there is an overall story and an overall villain that is a big twist in the end. And I know she has Squid 1, 2, and 3 done. I don't know if 4 is out yet, but I know the cover art and it's done. She's currently working on this gigantic monster book that we don't even know what the cover is going to look like. I've done character sketches for her so she can kind of sell prints at cons and see these characters in life, and it helps her write. So she values the character sketches, you know, for the process. So, but yeah, she's one of the most diehard authors I've ever met. So again, trying to keep up with that energy, it's a challenge, but I'm always up for it.
Can we talk a little bit about your trading card job that you had a few years ago? Marvel and Upper Deck trading cards. If I recall, did you do two sets or three sets?
Dude, I've done now seven. Okay. I just wrapped up my seventh one, I believe. I can say what they are now. So I've done Marvel Premiere a couple times. I've done Masterpiece a couple times. I've done Infinity War, Endgame, Deadpool, Spider-Man Far From Home, and then I just wrapped up another premiere. So seven, yeah.
So they're keeping and you
that
busy.
That equals out to over 500 sketch cards out there with my name on them. So
that's got
to
feel good, doesn't it?
It does. It's and still to this day, I still love telling the story on how, because this is, you know, again, more advice that hopefully people will take and make note of. At cons, you never know who you're talking to. And I was at my table. I was actually doing a panel, and my wife was watching my table at Cincinnati. And she goes, hey, when I finally got back, she goes, hey, there's a guy that stopped over. I'm like, okay, that's good. I want them to stop over. She goes, no, this was different. She goes, he actually looked through every single thing. He didn't say a single word. And then she goes, he's actually walked by about three times since you've been back. And he just snuck one of your business cards. She goes, I think he was like a scout. I'm like, oh, because they don't wear scout. Like, I work for this, because then you're going to suck up to them. They want to see you in the raw. So, I'd say about 2-3 weeks later, after the con, I received an email saying, you know, from Upper Deck saying, you know, hey, we want to offer you this Marvel project. And they spelled out the details. I about deleted it. I'm like, this is fake. This is like Nigerian Prince, but for nerds. This isn't real. They don't want my name on this. So I researched it, and lo and behold, it was legit. It was a legit offer. So I accepted. And ever since then, I've been doing, I try to do at least one set a year now. I've cut back heavily just because of cover projects and interiors, but I still try to maintain that relationship with them, because it is really cool to have, and it is a nice challenge to do. And it's something really fun for me to offer fans, because they do offer up artist proof cards for me to sell directly to fans or do whatever I want with them. So it's kind of cool that fans don't have to go and buy these expensive packs. They can just get it directly from me. So yeah, it's a fun project.
So I'm going to kind of combine two questions, because I was going to ask you next about your commission work. But since we're talking about Marvel and Upper Deck, and we can kind of merge this question together, is there a character, whether you're doing it for Marvel Upper Deck or you're doing it for commission, is there a character that is incredibly challenging that you've had to draw?
Yes, Iron Man.
Really?
And Star-Lord, yes. I don't like drawing tech. I don't like drawing. If I have to break out a ruler or a straight edge, I don't like drawing it. Like buildings and stuff, it's so tedious for me. I rather draw like organic monsters and shapes all day. That's why my favorite is Venom or Spawn, you know, stuff like that, that you can just absolutely get crazy with. But if I have to draw, you know, Iron Man's mask or Star-Lord's mask or whatever, it is a bit of a challenge for me. And I don't know, I've drawn them so many times, you think it would be, you know, they would change. It doesn't. It's just, that's my biggest weakness.
All right. But look, just disclaimer, if you want a commission of Iron Man or Star-Lord, still see Adam. He'll still do it.
Absolutely. I will do it. I will happily do it. Because I just know it's because I love every single one of you. I will happily do it. I've done it more times than I can count. So
you're just going to grit your teeth a little bit, aren't you?
I will grit, but I don't blame you for your fandom. So I really do enjoy doing commission work for people, because I do know that they are so appreciative when you can add to their collection or seeing their favorite character in your style. It's really awesome for us, because I know that they're not going to turn around and sell this. Like, they're going to take this to their grave. And I've had multiple people message me saying, this is my favorite piece that I've added to my collection. And to me, like, I've seen some of theirs that a lot of people share, like, here's my stuff. And I actually personally enjoy seeing what all my work is going next to. Some of my favorite artists are David Finch, Todd Knock, Todd McFarlane, Greg Capullo, Kyle Hotz, those are just a few. And seeing my artwork like slabbed on the wall next to a Finch, I'm like, that's insane. To me, it's such an honor. So yeah, I really enjoy commission work, even if it is Iron Man.
Well, let's talk about a commission event that you have going on next Monday, July 19th. Give us the details.
So July 19th, I am hosting my first ever commission event. So I'm kind of stealing Comics Elite's format a little bit. Earlier this year, I was able to set up at Comics Elite, which is a huge comic shop out of Indianapolis. And they hosted me for 3 days, a live stream. And I broke their record for commissions taken. I had 127 over the 3 days come in. And it took me about 4 months to knock them all out. So I loved how they, seeing behind the scenes, how they interacted with their fans and how they took the orders. We're going to adapt that to us because, one, sprinkling in commissions here and there is kind of a challenge. But now knowing I'm going to be blocking off an entire event to only talking to fans about commissions so they can order it right there and then we can work out the details later. It just seems way, way easier. So we're going to do a big spectacle. I'm actually going to lay out all my blank comic books that I have. And people can just claim as they see them. I'm going to be managing the live stream. My wife will be writing everything down. But we're also going to be doing a couple of giveaways during it. So right now I have one giveaway. So if you go to the Art of Adam Fields page, find the event. It's called Commission Event on that page. You can share that event and then comment on a post and you enter in to win a free slabbed exclusive cover I did for Bell Book from Leave on the Light, which I illustrated the cover and the interior. So you're getting a full book done by me, published by Anarch Press. That is a 9.8 signature series for free. All you got to do is just share the event. And then during the event, we're going to be doing a couple more giveaways that I will say during the event. But there's going to be some really cool stuff because one of the biggest things that I want to say thank you to everyone who does order commissions and support my artwork, and the best way is to give back. So,
and all of the details, like start time, end time, everything start is over on the Facebook page.
Yep, it's on the art page. I believe it is starting at 7 o'clock, and I'm going to go until we are tired and done. We don't have anything else planned for the next day except invoicing. So, that's really going to be it. But we're going to go live on the page, not in the event. The event is just to announce it. So we'll be live on my main page, the art page. And we're just going to chat it up a bit. I'm going to explain how everything's going to go. You will pan across the table. Then we're going to open claims and then people can just start claiming. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really looking forward to this because commissions are something that I like to personally talk to people about. So taking the orders, then I'll message everybody about all the details and talk to them about, because again, this is a personal piece for your collection. So I don't take that lightly. And we are offering blank covers, sketch covers, sketch cards, 11 by 17 and 9 by 12 board. So we are offering the full spectrum of commission sizes that I have. And all the prices are over there. It's too hard to remember those. I won't be able to do that.
And you know what? One thing about this event is you have some experience doing it because I see that you're always on your Facebook page. You're always on Instagram drawing and showing off, different techniques and stuff like that. So it's kind of old hat for you, so to speak.
Yeah. Yeah. I like doing the whole live thing. As an extrovert, being stuck inside talking to cats all day, it's kind of nice to chat with people, even though it's not face to face, but it's keyboard to face. So it is kind of cool to go live, and I do have a lot of people asking questions about techniques and stuff. So it's way easier just for me to show it than explain it. But yeah, every Monday night I go live to draw something and chat and talk about what's coming up and all that. So Monday night normally at 8 o'clock. Unless we have something else going on, then I try to do it early. But Monday nights are my night to do it because it's just a good way to end the beginning of the week.
Well, let's talk a little bit about your background in art for those folks who are not familiar with you. So how did you get started in art? How did you, were you like one of those kids that was constantly doodling?
Yeah, I was a lonely child is what you're asking. I was a really lonely child. No, I was actually, I don't have brothers and sisters. I'm the only child, but at 3 years old, my mom and dad took me to their, to my dad's uncle's house, who was a really good artist, but I don't think that's what he did for a living. I was 3 years old, so I don't know much about him. I do remember what he looked like, and I do remember the smell of his house, and I do remember where he sat me. He sat me down at this old school desk that had like the wood top and then the metal frame and then like the pocket underneath for all this, all your books. He sat me down. He drew a steam engine in perspective, and it looked so real. Like 3 years old, it was magic. Like it blew my mind. So then he showed me how to draw a tree, and I copied, and I remember him saying, "You got an artist here." So he actually gave me that desk that night. And ever since then, I've been drawing. So 3 years old on, I'm 34 now, and I've really not stopped. So in high school, I went to a trade school for graphic design and advertising. And then I went to college for marketing, graphic design, advertising. They all go hand in hand. And I was really frustrated because I was always told that you can't really, there's no real jobs unless you work at Disney for illustration. So you might as well just do graphic design. So I looked for graphic design jobs, and I got looked over all the time, got passed up so many times. And I said, you know what, forget it. I'm working in a factory. So I started in a factory. And then I found out this factory had a marketing department that did everything on house. So I'm like, well, I'm going to work my way up there. And I'm going to do the graphic design for them. And I did. I worked my way all the way up to the marketing department, only to be told I don't have what the capability or the I'm not capable of doing the design work. And was really, really mad at my director at the time. And so that's when I decided, fine, I'll just do it myself. So I decided to quit and start Midnight 27 Studios. And I thought, all right, I'm going to do my own marketing stuff. I'm going to do grad logos. I'm going to do websites. I'm going to do the... And I was working on Prowl on the side because I always wanted to do comic books. And little did I know that that was going to be the genesis of what everyone sees today. That was where it all started. People saw my illustrations and they started asking me, hey, can you draw me this? Can you draw this for my kid? Can you? And I'm like, yeah. So I completely changed my studio's focus from graphic design to illustration. And I'm so thankful for that graphic design background, because now when I set up my files and go to publish my work, I know the programs. I have all the same stuff that I graduated with, and I have all that knowledge. It really helps speed up things, so I don't have to hire a publisher to help me format my books. I just do it all right here myself. That's sort of the short answer for where I started and how I got there. It was through a lot of broken roads and a lot of barricades, but those barricades literally guided me to where I really need to be. So I'm honored to say that I'm on the advisory board for the trade school I went to for their graphic design department. And I get a chance to talk to all these students, but mainly I get to talk to all these students' parents. And I always tell them, because I've been pulled aside by these dads and moms that say, give it to me straight. Is this something my kid can really do for a living? You know, can they really do comics? Can they really do character designs? I just stare them dead in the eye and I go, I do it. I'm nothing special. I'm just a dude out of Eaton. I'm just a little guy, and I'm doing it with people, you know, around the world. I have no doubt that they can't do it. I said, but just don't discourage them. And, you know, I have this hard talks with these parents all the time during the school years that, like, hey, support your kid, you know, tell them that they can, because this is a changed world. Everything is now more visual. Their graphic designers are needed across the board, whereas they were kind of spaced out when I was getting into it. Now they see the value in them. So, yeah, jobs are out there for these kids.
Let's talk a little bit about your fandom of comics. Who are some of your favorite comic book characters?
So, all right. So I love Venom. That is my favorite. But I really love Spawn. And what Todd is doing with his universe, he's created his own Spawn universe, which is amazing. He's finally doing that. I can't wait because I'm only going to get the trades of those. I'm not really a comic collector, but I do enjoy reading the stories. So I read Spawn, Venom. Who else do I have? Power Rangers are always fun because that's my favorite franchise of all times. Is that? But those are really it. Batman is always my go-to, but pretty much Venom and Spawn. Those are the ones that I really get into. As for some really cool stories that I've read, I really like Scotty Young's Middle West. That was a really good miniseries. And I Hate Fairyland. Those are really good romps if you really love that kind of dark humor. I Hate Fairyland is just such a good story. So those are the little things that I like to read.
Okay. Yeah. I Hate Fairyland. Is that Image?
That is Image.
Yeah, I thought so. Yeah. Okay.
It's this. It looks like this cute little fun Candyland style, but it is so bloody. And my favorite part is like they don't cuss in it because it's Fairyland. So she calls them muffin fluffers and stuff. It's great. It's so good. Great humor.
Yeah, I've seen it at various different comic book stores, and I've always kind of wondered about it. So I don't know. You know, thanks for the inside scoop on that.
Yeah, he's got four trades out, I do believe. I just got the fourth one, so I'm currently reading it. It's so great.
All right, well, before we start wrapping things up, we're going to recap a story because okay. It's such a cool story from, I believe, one of your first appearances on the PVD cast. And since there's new listeners, let's talk about your days as a Demolition Derby driver.
Yeah, I used to wreck cars for fun. So every Saturday, I started derbying when I was 15 and a half. It was something I've always enjoyed doing, watching, going to the fair and seeing these cars wreck. And I always said, I'm going to do it. Well, I finally got the car and all the stuff when I was 15 and a half and started derbying, and I was hooked ever since. And it's actually how I met my wife, was through the derby world. She wasn't a driver. She was just a fan. But yeah, every Saturday we would be at the track, either with a car or looking for a car to run. And it was probably the most fun that I've ever had. And it's something I actually miss to this day. I would love to do it again because when I got out of it, we were literally building tanks. I mean, we were building cages around our engines and a cage inside of the car, which is necessary. But what we were doing to these cars, they weren't bending. They were just tanks. So the energy had to go somewhere, and that went to the driver's body. And my back started hurting. My neck started hurting, even with a neck brace. I mean, if someone hits you going 45 miles an hour, you're going to feel it. And no neck brace is going to stop that. Or if you bash your head off of the A pillar or the B pillar, it doesn't matter. So, but now they've got back into street stock where it's just like the old days. You knock out the windows, chain the doors shut, and you just go. So that's kind of what I was looking into. But I've actually recently got back into a really fun sport, paintball. We've been, me and my oldest, we've been going out to the local field about 30 minutes away and shooting people. It was fun. It's a really good thing. I've actually got a tournament coming up this weekend. Holy crap. Oh, cool. Yeah, I'll be gone Saturday and Sunday over in Anderson, Indiana, with our team. So that's a really fun adventure.
Is it fair to say it gives you that kind of that adrenaline rush the Demolition Derby used to give you?
Yeah, it is. Because you're hiding behind these bunkers, and you have about four or five people trying to take you out, and then it's just an adrenaline trying to get from one bunker to the other and taking out people along the way. So, and what I like about it is it's something that you can do with your kids too. So we have a low impact field not too far away. So I might be able to start taking my youngest too, and not in fear that he's not going to get hurt, because they do hurt. They leave some pretty wicked bruises, depending on how far away they are when they hit you. But, it's just a fun thing for kids and families to do. I've taken out many, many bachelor parties and in bridal showers. It's a fun adventure for everybody.
All right, well, let's talk about where folks can find you. Let's talk about upcoming events, social media, all that good stuff, Adam. So
let's talk about upcoming events, because I have a pretty big one that just kind of came up a couple days ago. So, as I mentioned, one of my favorite artists is Kyle Hotz. Well, he has a Moon Knight cover coming out through Marvel this coming Wednesday, or no, the 21st, July 21st. So he's going to be at Bell Book and Comic over in Kettering, Ohio, setting up, doing his signing. Well, they invited me out to set up with him to sell books and prints and all that. So I actually have a new Moon Knight print that I'm going to be debuting at this book signing. And he's actually been one that I've been wanting to meet. He actually is also going to be at another event that I'm going to be at called Gem City Comic Con, July 24th and 25th. And he actually said he was going to come up to my table and to meet me, so I didn't have to be away. So my heart stopped, but now I get to meet him early, and you never know. He's just awesome. He's just one I want to pick his brain. So the 21st, I'll be at Bell Book and Comic. 24th, 25th, I'll be at Gem City. August 8th, which is a Sunday, Jim and Dan's Comic and Toy Show over in Wright State Student Union. And then August 14th is Free Comic Book Day. Again, I'll be right back at Bell Book and Comic. Stuart Sager should be there as well. We always seem to do Free Comic Book Day there. So those are some big events that we have on the horizon.
All right. How about social media? Instagram,
social
Twitter.
Media. Yeah. So social media is basically Facebook, The Art of Adam Fields, and Instagram at Adam Fields 127. That's the only two that I really check and the easiest way to get a hold of me. Or you can go to midnight27studios.com, check out all my commission prices, check out links. And eventually, if you are an artist, I am a Blick Art affiliate now. So if you need art supplies, message me on any one of those platforms. I can send you an affiliate link so you can not only get the tools that I use, but also support me indirectly.
And that's pretty cool. I don't know if anybody else that I've heard, you know, in the comics world has a Blink sponsorship, so to speak. I don't know if that's the proper term, but... Yeah.
It's neat. I reached out to them and said, hey, you know, I use your guys' website exclusively for art supplies. Is there a way? And I get asked all the time for, you know, what tools do you use? Where do you get this? Where do you get that? So they're like, yeah, absolutely. So we worked out the deal, and they were honored to send me to their affiliate links. And now you can buy through me. The only thing I've got to do is set up a site where I list everything, and that just takes a little more time that I haven't been able to do quite yet. But yeah, once we get that done, then I'll definitely make a blast. But right now I can send individual links to anyone who, you know, actually yesterday said, hey, I'm going to be buying Copics. What's your affiliate link? So I just sent in my link, and they were able to buy Copics and paper and all sorts of stuff. So it's kind of a neat little, partnership. But I love Blick Art. They take really, really good care of me and the other artists.
All right, with that, Adam Fields, anything else you want to say real quick?
No, just keep creating. That's really it. You know, if you got a story to tell, only you can tell it, tell it. Don't let anyone stop you.
I think that is probably the most sound advice, and you've given a lot of advice, but I think that's the best advice that you've given all episode long.
Thank you.
All right, with that, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up the episode. Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with Adam Fields, talking about all the cool projects he has going on under the umbrella of Midnight 27 Studios. So please check out Adam's stuff over on Facebook under The Art of Adam Fields, and check out his website, midnight27studios.com, and see all the cool things he's got going on. And heck, maybe pick up a commission if you like. And now I think it's time for me to tell you how you can get in touch with me if you have a question, a comment, or whatnot about this episode or any episode of the PVD cast. Well, you can find me on Twitter. My personal Twitter handle is at PVDMVP. You can leave me a message over on the Facebook and Instagram feeds. Just look for at PVDcast. And you can even shoot me an email if you like. My email address is johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Let me remind you about all the different avenues you have for hearing the PVD cast. Probably the easiest place to go is pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, but it's also available through all of those major podcasting outlets. All you have to do is go to your favorite podcasting platform, go into the search bar, type in PVD cast. Sometimes you have to put John Orlando after it. I'm not sure why. It's just that's the way it is, I guess. But nonetheless, put in PVD cast or PVD cast John Orlando into that search bar and you should be able to find this fantastic podcast. And don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. If you listen to an episode, rating and reviewing help me out in the algorithm, and subscribing means you never miss an episode. And I need to remind you about the Facebook Live broadcast that I do every Monday night, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go over to the Facebook page, and once again, that's at PVDcast, on a Monday night at 8, and I will broadcast the weekly episode and interact with you as well. So it's a great time. You definitely want to check it out. And in fact, I'm proud to say that the PVDcast Facebook broadcast is also simulcast through my friends at the Three Geeks podcast and the Scene Snobs Network as well. And you should check those guys out. Go on over to 3geeks.ninja and check out all the great content they have over on their website. And check out over 30 different podcasts on thescenesnobs.com. That is the home for their wonderful network as well. All right, before I go, I need to remind you that the PVD cast has been nominated for Columbus Podcast Award in the Society and Culture category. And my other pet project, Matt Talk, has been nominated for Columbus Podcast Award in the TV and Film category. And they are also nominated for Podcast of the Year, too. I need your votes. Please go on over to columbuspodcastawards.com/nominations. Drop your vote for Matt Talk and the PVD cast in the respective divisions. All you got to do is click the vote now. Find the PVD cast and Matt Talk logo. Click on it. Submit your email and your vote will count. I would love to win an award at the Columbus Podcast Awards, and you can help me do that. So thank you if you've already voted. By the way, I've had a lot of people already tell me that they did, and I appreciate it so much. And with that, I think I'm going to get on out of here. Thanks for checking out the episode once again, and I will chat at each and every one of you later. Stay righteous and stay independent. Has been a production of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2021.